no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Today on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with Vincent Price as the Saint. We'll hear the July 9th, 1950 broadcast titled The Problem of the Peculiar Payoff. Then stay tuned for High Adventure.
The National Broadcasting Company delays the start of this program to bring you a special bulletin. From the NBC newsroom in New York, a display of perfect teamwork by American ground and air forces has stalled the communist drive on the Chonan front. One dispatch says the North Koreans have suffered their first real thrashing of the invasion, and their push on Taejon with 50,000 troops has been halted, at least for the moment, at a point some 35 miles from Taejon. Keep tuned to your NBC station for the later news.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. Based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures, the Robin Hood of modern crime now comes to radio, transcribed, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Taxi! Taxi!
You don't want a taxi, Mr. Templar. I got a car right here.
What? Well, Augie Cawthelwaite. When did you leave Alcatraz?
Oh, I got my diploma a couple of months ago. Now I'm back on the Apple.
Oh.
Hop in.
Are you going my way?
Yeah, I'm going your way.
All right, thanks. You're sure it's no trouble?
It's no trouble. Move into the driver's seat.
You want me to drive?
That's right.
Why? Oh, don't tell me this is a hot car, and you don't want to be found at the wheel.
How did you get?
Augie, didn't you learn anything in prison?
Yeah, I learned crime does not pay, besides which it is against the law.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Didn't you know?
I mean, I'm glad to find out you know.
Oh, sure, Mr. Templar. I learned my lesson. I'm off crime for keeps.
But then this car...
Ain't it a beaut? And the keys was in it. With a setup like that, it'd be a crime not to take it. And like I said...
Yes, you're off crime for keeps.
Yeah. Now, let's go, shall we? Start her up.
Oh, but Augie...
Do like I tell you.
Oh, certainly, Augie.
That's right. Now, put her into first.
Oh, Augie, why didn't you swipe a car with automatic drive while you're at it?
I just wasn't thinking.
Augie, why the gun?
So she'll do like I tell you.
Oh.
That's how come you're driving. I want to keep my eye on you.
The eye I don't mind. It's the gun I resent. Put it away and I'll be grateful as long as I live.
Trouble is... You ain't gonna live very long.
Oh, so that's how we stand.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Templar, but what can I do? The job's a job.
Chuck the job. You know the saying, all work and no play.
Oh, I'll play after I knock off.
You mean after you knock me off?
That's right.
But, Augie, you know, if you kill me, you'll hate yourself in the morning.
Yeah, I know. But if I don't, I'll hate myself tonight. It's a cash deal.
And if I top whatever you're getting?
No dice. I got my reputation to think of.
Oh, pardon me for being crude.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Templar.
Well, as long as you're determined to get rid of me, at least tell me who's giving the orders.
Oh, sorry. That's confidential.
Oh, I won't breathe it to a living soul, believe me.
Huh? Oh, I guess you won't at that.
So there's no harm
in... I guess you're right, under the circumstances.
Well, then?
It's a guy named Ronald Stanton.
Ronald Stanton? Who's he?
In my business... You don't ask questions.
All right, a guy named Ronald Stanton. But what's he got against me?
Look, in my business, you don't...
Ah, yes, but in my business, you do.
Oh. Well, all I know, Stanton calls me in, gives me the assignment, gives me a down payment, and I get the rest on delivery.
Of my corpse.
Right.
Well, it's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about this, Mr. Templar, But times are tough.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta take what comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity only knocks once.
Mm-hmm.
A guy's gotta live.
My sentiments exactly.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing?
I'm just stepping on the gas.
Slow down. I said slow down or I'll plug you.
You think we can find a coffin built for two?
Look out for that car!
Close.
What are you trying to do, scare me to death?
It's a thought.
If you don't stop...
Yes?
If you don't stop...
You said that before.
Please, Mr. Templer.
Oh, you want me to stop?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
What hit me?
The windshield, and now I'll take that gun. Come on, Augie, snap out of it.
Mr. Templer, what was the idea? Don't you realize... we might have been killed.
Never mind, Johnson. I'll get it. I'm expecting visitors.
Very good, sir.
Yes?
Are you Ronald Stanton?
Yes, and you?
Simon Templer,
Simon Templer. As I live and breathe.
No, as I do. Surprise, isn't it?
Where's Augie?
Nursing a headache.
Oh, dear me, I should have known.
May I come in? I want to talk to you.
Certainly, certainly.
Said the spider to the fly. But before you get any ideas, Mr. Stanton, I've left word I was coming here, so for your sake...
I quite understand. Come in.
Right.
Now, you have nothing to worry about, Mr. Templer. I am constitutionally incapable of violence. That's why I'm forced to depend upon dullards like Augie.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I'm really in every way unsuited for the sort of work I've engaged in. I should have been an artist. I have the soul of an artist, the temperament of an artist, the intellect of an artist.
Then why aren't you an artist?
My paintings stink.
Oh.
So you find me a swindler instead. Degrading, but a man must live.
So I've heard.
And at least it does involve the intelligence. Matching one's wits, as it were. Oh, dear me.
What's the matter?
I just remembered. I must make a note to call the florist in the morning and cancel the flowers.
What flowers?
For your funeral. You won't be needing them, will you?
Not if I can help it.
Pity. They were gorgeous. You'd have loved them.
Well, I'll try to bear up.
Well, now, to business. I suppose you've come here for your money.
Have I?
Since Augie failed me, I'm afraid I'll have to pay. By the way, you're not going to hold this unpleasantness with Augie against me, are you?
A little thing like that? Don't be silly.
I knew you'd understand. It was a natural move on my part. Anyone would have done the same, rather than pay. You would have yourself.
I wouldn't have used Augie.
Neither shall I next time. But since you and I understand each other, it won't affect our dealings.
Not in the least.
Good. Then it's still just the agreed upon amount.
Yes, the agreed upon amount.
Excellent. I may not have it all here, though. We'll see how much is in the safe there. Just a moment. Afraid this isn't quite enough. Let me count it.
Don't you ever keep that safe locked?
I never can remember the combination. No, this is only 12,000.
Only 12,000?
Yes. You see, I really didn't expect you. If you'll come to the office in the morning, I'll give you the other three. Will you be there?
Unless I wake up in the meantime. Good night, Mr. Stanton.
Yes. May I help you?
Well, Mr. Stanton has a well-equipped office, hasn't he?
Yes, very.
And a well-equipped receptionist.
Oh, what do you want?
What do I want? We'll get around to that later. Right now, I want to see Mr. Stanton.
Who shall I say is calling?
Simon Templer.
Simon not the saint.
All right, not the saint.
Oh, but you must be.
All right, I am.
Well, I wish you'd make up your mind.
Well, I'm really Bulldog Drummond, but I'm traveling incognito. Now, may I see Mr. Stanton?
Just a moment. Mr. Templer, this is Mr. Briggs, Mr. Stanton's secretary.
Oh, hello.
Ah, yes. Templer, what is it, sir? What is it?
I'd like to see Mr. Stanton.
Mr. Stanton is a very busy man, sir, very busy.
He'll see me.
Well, now, I don't know.
Ah, but I do know.
As a matter of fact, I don't believe he's in yet. Don't believe he is.
Well, I'll wait.
Can't I help you?
Have you got $3,000?
The $3,000.
$3,000 to go with 12.
I don't understand.
I didn't think you would. I'll wait for Mr. Stanton.
Very well, if you insist. Very well. Come inside. You can wait there.
Thanks.
The name is Linda.
Well, I,
I hope you'll be here when I get back.
I'll make a point of it.
Lead on, Mr. Briggs. You can wait in my office. This door right here. Go on in.
Thanks.
Do you...
Oh.
Yes, Mr. Stanton.
Linda, where's Briggs?
Isn't he in his office?
I've been buzzing. No answer. Go find him, will you?
Yes, Mr. Stanton. He was here a little while ago.
Just been put to sleep, and with you in my dreams, I don't want to wake up.
But what happened?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Where's Mr. Briggs?
I wouldn't know.
Is he the one who knocked you out?
I wouldn't be surprised.
But why?
That, as they say, is the question.
And why did he tell you that Mr. Stanton wasn't in?
That, as they say... Say, how many questions are there? And as long as questions seem to be in order, allow me... Is Mr. Stanton in?
Yes, he's been in all morning, so I couldn't understand
Look,
what...
help me up, will you?
Oh, of course.
Oh, thanks.
What?
It's nice. Leaning on you. I must remember to get knocked out more often.
Do you think you can walk?
Probably, but I don't feel inclined to find out.
Well, we can't just stand here with our arms around each other.
Can't we?
Well, on second thought, perhaps we can. On third thought, we can. Here comes Mr. Stanton.
Well, 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 isn't this chummy?
This is Mr. Templer, Mr. Stanton. He's just had a frightful experience, and I...
Frightful? Quite the contrary, I'd say.
I mean, he was knocked out.
Naturally. One look at you and any man.
I mean, literally.
With a sap, a blackjack.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
But that's incredible. Who? Why?
I'm afraid you'll have to ask your secretary.
Oh, yes, Briggs. Where is he?
I can't find him, Mr. Stanton. He seems to have left the office.
Could he have left without your seeing him?
Yes, Mr. Templer. Through the back.
But are you trying to say that Briggs knocked you out, Mr. Templer?
Is it so hard to believe?
I just don't understand it.
Well, I came here for sugar, so I suppose he decided to give me my lump.
Quite good, quite good. Ah, yes, sugar. You want the 3,000. I'll get it for you, Mr. Templer.
All right.
And we're agreed this settles my account with you, eh?
Yes, Stanton, it does. But I still have an account to settle with Mr. Briggs. Linda?
Oh, Mr. Templer. I didn't expect to see you.
I invited you for dinner. Did you think I'd stand you up?
I mean, under the circumstances.
What circumstances?
Haven't you heard? They've found Briggs.
Good. I'll settle with him later. Right now...
But aren't you afraid you'll be seen?
Now, don't tell me you have a jealous husband.
I don't have a husband.
There, you see, life can be beautiful.
But the police...
are a very dull topic of conversation. I prefer...
But they're looking for you.
For me?
Yes.
So I'll buy a dog license.
It's not about a dog license. I told you, they've found Briggs.
So you did. What's he been saying about me?
Nothing. Dead men never do.
Well, then, dead men?
Yes, didn't you know? He's been murdered.
I beg your pardon, monsieur. Would you care to order now, sir?
I'll be very honest with you, Captain. I'm not a bit hungry.
But, monsieur, may I suggest...
No, no, thank you.
But the chef has prepared pheasant on the glass.
Tell the chef to have one on me.
Huh? Very well, monsieur.
Now, Linda, what were we talking about?
Oh, Simon.
So I'm suspect number one.
Yes. Did you do it?
Kill Briggs? I hardly knew him. I only kill old friends.
You don't seem to realize how serious this is.
My conscience is clear, and I've got a good lawyer. Tell me something about Stanton, Linda.
What about him?
What's his racket?
Why, he's in the real estate business.
So it says on his door, but what's his racket?
I don't understand.
I wonder.
All I know is Mr. Stanton has some big project underway. He's been selling stock in it.
So that's it.
What?
The racket.
I don't know about it being a racket. It's a business deal. I thought it was legitimate.
Look, you don't pay off somebody to the tune of $15,000 to shut him up about a legitimate business deal.
Did Mr. Stanton do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know much about it. I've only worked for him a short while. Who did he pay off?
Me.
You? But you said you didn't know it.
I didn't. But then we all make mistakes.
You mean Mr. Stanton is a swindler? And he thought you found out, so he paid you to shut up.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And you accepted his money?
Well, it seemed a shame to spoil his fun, but I'll contribute it to a worthy cause. Do you feel like a worthy cause?
But what made Mr. Stanton think that you knew?
Briggs, obviously. He must have been blackmailing Stanton in my name.
Why your name?
If I say so myself, Linda, and I do, it's a name that carries weight with the underworld.
But why didn't he use his own name?
He anticipated Augie.
What?
Blackmail is a hazardous occupation. Briggs wanted to avoid the hazards, so he used my name, probably intending to send a messenger for the money. But Stanton jumped the gun by sending Augie after me.
Who is Augie?
One of nature's mistakes.
That's not very specific.
If I were any more specific about Augie, I'd spoil your appetite and it's time for dinner. So let's forget about Augie and order, shall we?
Taxi! Taxi!
You don't want a taxi, Mr. Templer. I got a car right here.
Well, speak of the devil.
Were you speaking of the devil, Mr. Templer?
Figuratively, Augie.
Oh.
Linda, this is Augie.
I see.
Likewise. I am charming to have met you. It is a pleasure. Now, scram.
What?
Scram.
I'm afraid you'd better scram, Linda.
But will you be all right?
Yes, I'm sure Augie will take care of me, won't you, Augie?
Yeah. Now, look, sister, you don't scram so good. You want I should show you how?
No, she don't want you should show her how. Go on, Linda. I'll call you later.
All right, Simon. I'll be waiting.
And you, Mr. Templer, get in the car.
But, Augie...
You heard me.
Me a gun again. Augie, this is where I came in.
You mean this is where you get in? Go ahead.
Oh, all right, Augie.
Only this time, I drive.
Oh, I'm hurt. You didn't like my driving.
So you're hurt. I let you drive, we'll both be hurt. My left hand stays in my lap with the gun. So just sit quiet.
Mm-hmm. I see Stanton changed his mind.
About what?
Firing you.
Why should he fire me?
He was very upset by last night's fiasco.
Well, Mr. Stanton is not a man to hold a grudge.
Oh, I see.
Besides which, I know too much.
About what?
Things.
Well, I'm glad you've kept your job. I'd hate to be taken for a ride by a really efficient hoodlum.
That's no way to talk, Mr. Templer. I'll have you know I ain't no hoodlum.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected.
You'll sit. Right where you are.
Yes, Augie.
And no tricks this time.
No, Augie.
We ain't gonna have another Fabasco.
No, Augie.
I am a careful driver.
So I see. But now let's see how you do with my foot on yours.
Hey!
Just watch where you're going, Augie.
Get off my foot!
All right, Augie.
Hey!
Congratulations, Augie. Yeah. You're really alert. The way you grabbed that wheel, of course, when you grab the wheel, I grab the gun.
Oh, this is getting monotonous.
Well, I'm willing to quit if you are.
Believe me, Mr. Templer, I am giving it serious consideration.
Mr. Templer,
as you live and breathe.
Quite. But where's Augie?
He met with another Fabasco.
I beg your pardon.
You ought to, Stanton. And you can cancel the flowers again. I'm still alive.
Why, of course you are. Why shouldn't you? Oh, dear me. Did you think that Augie was trying to kill you again?
Wasn't he?
Dear me, no. I simply asked him to bring you here.
He doesn't extend a very cordial invitation.
No, I'm afraid not.
But here I am anyway, Stanton. So what do you want?
It's rather difficult to ask without Augie.
It shouldn't be hard to ask. It might be hard to get.
Yes, but since Augie failed again, why did you come?
To find out why you sicked him on me again. I understood that when you paid me off this morning, we were quits.
Ah, but that was before the murder. That alters matters.
How?
You have $15,000 of mine.
Yours?
I don't wish to discuss ethics, Mr. Templer. Let's just view this pragmatically as simply a bit of tit-for-tat, as it were.
Very well, pragmatic tit-for-tat. What does it mean?
I paid you $15,000 for silence. I thought you might care to repay me the $15 for same.
What would I want you to be silent about?
Your whereabouts. The police are looking for the man who was in Stanton's office this morning.
I see.
If you were here in Augie's custody, I could offer you the choice of freedom or arrest. But since Augie once again failed me, the whole matter becomes an academic question.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't blame me for trying. After all, you would have done the same. In fact, you did the same, eh? Every man for himself. And no hard feelings, right?
Quite. Good night, Mr. Stanton.
Hello?
Hello, Linda.
Oh, Simon. Are you all right?
Fit as a bull fiddle. Linda, do you have a key to the office?
Yes.
Good. I'll meet you there in 20 minutes.
Why?
Because I don't have a key.
I mean, why do you want to get into the office?
To find something.
What?
A clue.
What clue?
How should I know? I haven't found it yet.
Don't you expect to?
With your help.
All right, I'll be there.
But look out for Stanton.
Why?
I have an idea he'll be coming, too.
Oh, did you ask him?
No, but I don't think he needs an invitation.
And you don't want him to see me?
Not until we're in the office. I don't want to scare him away.
Oh, it begins to sound ominous.
You afraid?
Not as long as you're there.
I wonder how I ought to take that.
As a compliment.
All right. I'll be waiting, Linda. Hurry.
Am I late, Simon?
Right on the nose.
Oh, good. I hurried.
Well, let's go in.
All right.
Don't turn on the light. I don't want Stanton to know we're here.
Whatever you say. But what makes you so sure he's coming?
I just paid him a visit. I could see he was packing. He's preparing to leave town, and he'll probably want to clean out the office first.
He's running away?
So it would seem.
Well, now what do we do?
I'm going in back to see what I can find. You stay here at your desk. If Stanton comes, buzz me.
You mean I stay alone in the dark?
Well, I'll only be a minute, then we'll stay together in the dark.
All right. Can you find your way to the door?
Yeah. Yeah, I found it. I'll be right back.
All right.
Yes, Simon? You want something?
Has Stanton showed up?
Not yet.
Well, I'll be right out.
Did you find what you were looking for?
Yes.
Already?
Already.
Amazing.
You don't know the saint. I'll be right out and give you a chance to learn. Yes, Linda.
What did you find?
Shh. Do you see what I see?
I don't see anything. It's so dark.
At the door. Silhouette.
Oh.
Hello, Stanton.
What?
Oh. Here, let me turn the light on for you.
Oh. Oh, Templar and Linda.
Yes, we've been waiting for you, Stanton.
How did you know?
Elementary, my dear Stanton.
Hmm. Seems you've beaten me, Templar, to everything except the draw. Put up your hands.
I thought gunplay was out of your line, Mr. Stanton.
Sometimes one is forced to take matters into one's own hands. But I assure you, I don't relish it. So please do as I say, both of you. Because if I'm forced to shoot you, I know I shall be quite ill.
What are you going to do?
If you two will just stand quietly with your hands raised.
I have a better idea. He's between us, Linda. He can't watch us both at the same time.
Get over next to her, Templar.
Ordinarily, there's nothing I'd rather do, but under the circumstances...
If you don't obey me, much as I hate the sight of blood, I shall be forced to shoot you.
In other words, Stanton, there comes a time when even you are willing to commit murder.
Only when absolutely necessary.
It's a nice distinction.
I don't care to discuss it. Now, will you get over next to Linda?
On the contrary. Linda, while he's watching me, now's your chance. Clout him with that standing ashtray.
No, no, you don't.
All right, Stanton, now that you've turned to her, I've got you covered. Drop your gun.
All right, all right. Don't shoot. As I've told you, I can't stand the sight of blood, especially my own.
Pick up his gun, Linda.
Oh, I've got it.
Dear me. Perhaps Augie isn't so incompetent after all. Gunplay can be quite complicated.
Well, we'll send you where you can learn the art from experts. Let me have his gun, Linda. And then you can call the police.
All right.
The police? But you can't.
Can't we?
You promised if I paid you...
I didn't promise a thing, Stanton. That was Briggs.
What?
Besides, there's more than just a swindle to settle. Let's not overlook the murder.
Quite right, sir. You put the police onto me, you'll have to face them for the murder charge.
I wouldn't try to pin the murder on me, Stanton. You see, I could point out that Briggs was blackmailing you in my name. You found out about it, and...
Are you trying to say that I killed Briggs?
It's as good a story as that I did.
Why, you have no proof, Templar.
We'll see. I came here this morning at your invitation. Briggs was terrified. He didn't know you and I had met before. He thought if I talked to you, you'd find out I wasn't the one who was blackmailing you. And it might give Briggs his game away, so he knocked me out. To keep me from meeting you.
That still doesn't prove anything.
Ah, yes, proof. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, and you can't eat your proof and have it, too.
What on earth does that mean?
Nothing at all. Go on, Linda, call the police.
Yes, Simon.
Templar!
Shh, please, the lady is phoning.
Hello, operator? I want the police, please. Hello, police? Can you send a car to the Stanton Real Estate Company? 8th and Hudson Street. We have a swindler and a murderer, that's right. Yes, that's right, 8th and Hudson. Goodbye.
Templar, you're making a big mistake.
I know, but I wanted to give Linda a chance to complete the call, Stanton. Naturally, she wouldn't have if I'd said she is the one who killed Briggs.
Simon.
What?
Linda, it looks like we never will get that chance to sit in the dark together.
This is absurd. Why would I want to kill Briggs?
Because you were in on his scheme with him, and you were afraid if he were caught at it and talked, he'd implicate you.
So you killed him while I was unconscious.
Why, you're...
You're crazy is the usual line at this point.
Well, you are. I had nothing to do with Briggs.
Yet when I came here and asked to see Stanton, you left your desk and went in to get Briggs instead of talking to him on the intercom.
Well,
You wanted to talk to him behind my back in case he wanted to cook up a story.
No.
Then why didn't you use the intercom? It's connected with his office and it works. I checked.
So that's what you were looking for. You think you're so clever. Well, you can just...
Linda, careful. Remember, I'm a saint.
Taxi! You don't want a taxi, Mr. Templer. I got a car here.
Oh, no, Augie. Not again.
What's the matter, Mr. Templer? Don't you like my company?
It's not that, Augie, but I'm warning you. If you keep driving a hot car around town, some nice policeman is going to speak harshly to you and pull you in.
Mr. Templer?
Yes, Augie?
To tell you the truth, it ain't a hot car.
Not even slightly warm?
Nope. I bought it. Paid cash. But... Yeah, I wouldn't like it to go no further.
Oh, I understand, Augie. Don't worry. I won't say a word. I realize what it would do to your reputation.
You have been listening to another adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. And now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
This year, the Forest Service of the United States Department of Agriculture prevails on the vacationing and motoring public to exercise extreme care with fire while living, working, or visiting in or near forest and woodland areas. Remember, friends, it only takes a moment's carelessness or thoughtlessness to set fire loose in the forest. So let's all be careful. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
The script of The Saint was written by Jerome Epstein. Our cast tonight included Francis Robinson, Arthur Q. Bryan, Ted Von Eltz, and Donald Woods. The music was composed and conducted by Von Dexter. The Saint, transcribed based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Sapir production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price can now be seen in the Universal International
That's
Picture Curtain
for
Call
high
and
adventure.
Cactus Creek.
This episode is from
all
the South
Saint
African
will be glad to know that the Saint
series.
Comic books are on
aired
sale at all newsstands.
Your announcer is Don Sam. It's titled HMS
Mike
Suicide.
Mike B. The Top Secret, two suspense-filled, action-packed shows come to you tomorrow night on NBC. Make a date. Hear Top Secret with Lona Massey as a counter-espionage agent and Mike B., the story of Chicago after dark. Both top shows tomorrow night on NBC. Next, it's Sam Spade, then Summer Symphony with Benny Goodman on NBC.
Tonight's story is entitled HMS Suicide by Alan Campling.
It was well into 1943 when I got my orders at Brooklyn Navy Yard to report at Scapa Flow, off the north coast of Scotland, to a vessel called S-54. I made the crossing in a very uncomfortable aircraft and landed to find that S-54 was a British craft, which was bad enough, but also a submarine, which was worse. Still, Lieutenant Commander Dougie Haig and his boys eventually got over the shock of meeting an American. And by the time we were pulling into Gibraltar Harbor, everybody was relaxed and friendly. We were really buddies by that time. Or so I thought, anyway.
All right, pilot. Left hand down. Save the juice. Take her in.
Aye, aye, sir. 3 degrees to Port Bunker's off speed, sir.
Say, Captain, I think your boatswain's pulling your leg.
Gracious me, Yank. When are you going to learn to call him bosun like every other human being in this sub?
You're a great one to talk about using the proper terms. What's this left hand down stuff, anyway?
Well, I thought it would help a landlubber like you to feel more at home. We don't often have a soldier aboard, you know. Seamen traditionally think that's bad luck. And from the way you've been going through my whiskey ration, I'm inclined to agree.
Okay, I get it. The fact is, the only other time I was on a boat was when we...
On a boat? In a ship, if you don't mind.
If you say so, Skipper. Anyway, that was a U.S. vessel, and they're dry.
Dry? I just think they would be. They never go to sea, do they?
Oops. I should have said teetotal.
Yes, I don't wonder the American fleet takes so long to get into war if they don't get a rum ration.
I promise to replenish your liquor supply just as soon as we land in Gibraltar. I must admit I'll be glad to stretch my legs on dry land. That Atlantic sure can throw a boat, a ship around.
Well, it'll be more peaceful for you in the Mediterranean. We've only got the entire combined Italian and German fleets to throw us around there. And if you don't count their air forces, which personally I do...
Just my luck. I was hoping we could travel on the surface for a while after all that underwater stuff.
You'll get used to that if your mission with us lasts much longer. Whatever that mission may be.
Don't let's start that again, Dougie. I keep telling you, I don't know my ultimate mission any more than you do.
Right, and I keep telling you that as captain of this submarine, I ought to know your mission, whether you do or not. Well, there's the flag lieutenant of the Admiral's barge. I suppose I'll be wanted up at Government House. Maybe someone up there will know what this little trip's all about. And maybe I'll wish I'd never been told when I find out.
Lieutenant Commander Douglas Haig reporting, sir. HMS Submarine S-54.
Oh, good afternoon, Commander. Oh, do take a chair. Have a fair trip.
Middling, thank you, sir. I was told to see the Admiral here, sir.
Yes, that's all right. I'm using his office. I wanted to give you a personal briefing. I'll have to be brief, too, if I'm to catch my plane back to London tonight. If you want to take off after dark and run into any opposition.
You're from London, sir?
Yeah, flew in this morning to talk to you. Now, don't mention that to anyone, will you? In fact, everything I say to you here is top secret. And I mean top secret. Your crew isn't to hear your orders, not even what do you call your second-in-command?
First lieutenant, sir.
Oh, very odd, you Navy people. You're a lieutenant commander, they call you captain. He's a second lieutenant and you call him first. Oh, well, I suppose the Admiralty know what they're up to.
You're not from the Admiralty, then, sir?
Oh, gracious, no. I'd be obliged if you didn't ask where I am from, or indeed any other questions. I'll tell you what you need to know, and Major Lee will get his orders separately. How are you getting along, by the way, that American Army officer you brought out?
Will he have orders that I don't know about, sir?
Oh, now then, my boy, I did warn you against interrogating me. But I don't mind telling you, he will. And where they appear to conflict with your own orders, you will obey his instructions. Is that clear?
With respect, sir, that isn't possible. In the Navy, a captain is wholly responsible for everything and everybody in the vessel
which
he commands.
Yes, never mind that now. Everything will be cleared with your admiral. You'll find it's all cut and dried. Now, I understand your boat has 5 ballast compartments instead of the usual 3. Is that so?
I beg your pardon, sir, but you'll appreciate I don't know you from Adam. It's more than my job's worth to discuss naval architecture.
Yes, quite right. Forgive me. I'm afraid I can't tell you my name, but here's my authority. I wouldn't want you to think I was a spy or something. Leastwise, not an enemy spy, what? Does that letter satisfy you?
Well, it certainly gives you carte blanche, sir. But I don't recognize the signature. I don't believe I've ever heard of an Admiral George. And while I don't want to appear to be uncooperative...
That's not an Admiral's signature, my boy. That's the King's.
Oh. Oh, I see, sir.
Yes, quite so. And you can rest assured that what I tell you in his name can override any routine matter of naval procedure. What? I mean, it's his submarine, isn't it? And he's paying your salary, too, so perhaps you won't object if some of my instructions on his behalf, well, all of them, as it may be, are a little, shall we say, unexpected.
Hurry that work along, Swain. We're shoving off tonight.
Tonight, sir? The lads was looking forward to an art in the town, sir.
Well, they're not getting one. Send the master-at-arms to get them back here on the double.
Yes, sir. That Yankee officer too, sir.
Oh, yes. I'd almost forgotten about him. Ask him to come back as soon as he can make it, will you?
Take him on to Malta, are we, Skipper?
Who said anything about Malta?
Well, nobody said anything about it, sir, but anybody could guess that from what we're loading.
I see. And what are we loading?
Well, don't you know, sir?
If I knew, I wouldn't have asked you.
Well, yes, sir, cool, sir. Well, mostly petrol, sir.
Aviation fuel. High-octane stuff.
That's right, sir. And there's only one place around here that's got to get its aviation fuel by submarine.
I should think so, too. Using my ship as a tanker.
Well, they can't use tankers, sir. Surface vessels can't get through the enemy air cover from Italy and France.
I don't need a lecture in contemporary strategy, thank you. Where's it all going?
Ballast compartment, sir. And the dockyard workmen took out one of our batteries to make room for more petrol, sir.
Have they, indeed. I wonder they didn't offload the torpedoes as well. Oh, that's all I need. Half my electrical storage gone, so I can only stay under the surface half the usual time. That's just great.
Sir, they did offload the torpedoes and sealed up the tubes, sir.
Oh, that's really going too far. I'm not using my torpedo tubes for petrol storage. And I'll tell the Commander-in-Chief, sir.
Well, they've not put petrol in them, sir.
Haven't they? What then?
Shells, sir. IG.
High explosive shells, for Pete's sake.
That's right, sir. Anti-aircraft shells. Big ones for the Malta defenses, I suppose.
Don't keep talking about Malta. That's the way rumors get spread.
Hi there, Douglas. I got you some scotch. Say, you guys are certainly in a mess around here.
Well, there's one man we might have to fetch from the pub. Now, don't talk about Malta in front of him. You hear me?
Aye, aye, Skipper.
See, that Gibraltar of yours is someplace. Like a little bit of old England, straight off the calendar, except it isn't raining. Douglas, I want you to have dinner with me tonight in the best restaurant in town. There's a couple of girls I met who...
You won't be here long enough, Major. Huh? Now that you're aboard, you can stay aboard until we sail.
I do, Douglas? But look, I promised this girl and her...
You're under my orders, Major.
Hey, what's with this Major stuff? I was yanked this morning, Douglas.
Well, now you're Major Lee, passenger, and I'm captain to you.
What? Hey, Bosun, is something wrong?
You will not address my crew except through me, as long as I have command here. When you usurp my command, when you take over,
yeah,
then...
Taking over, sir. Is that what you said?
Look, I don't propose to say everything twice, Bosun. It's bad enough having to say once that another officer, a soldier, not even a British officer...
Sir, you on the level.
Major Lee, it appears that for the first time in the history of the Royal Navy, a history that goes back several hundred years further than your entire country's existence... A vessel of His Britannic Majesty is about to fall under the strategic and technical command of an ignorant and unseaworthy foreigner.
I could see why Commander Haig would be sore, and it was tough to have him sore at me when I didn't know what he was talking about. Whatever he'd been told at his briefing on the Rock was a secret from me. I had my orders in an envelope in my jacket. They were sealed, and the idea was that Haig would be told by radio when I was to open them. He was mad enough to spit. From his attitude towards me, as much as by what he said, I could see that he bitterly resented the idea that he wouldn't be master in his own ship once my orders were opened. I stayed away from the command center all I could from then on, lying in my hammock and trying to figure what was going on. But when Dougie Haig eventually took a nap, I tried to pump the bosun, without distracting him from his job of conning the submarine, of course.
Hi there, Swain. How's she going?
Evening, Major Lee. Everything under control, sir.
Don't you start with that spit and polish, Swain. Call me Yank and make me feel like one of the family again.
Sorry, sir. Skipper's order, sir. No fraternizing.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Now, look. Tell me one thing, anyways. How come we're spending so much time submerged, hmm? I mean, when we were in the Atlantic, we surfaced at night to recharge the batteries or whatever.
Can't surface, Nemed, sir. Too many enemy aircraft about. And sub chasers could detect us and blow us out of the water.
Oh, okay, I was just asking. But I thought somebody told me you had to come up every so often or your batteries would run dry.
Quite right, sir.
Well, haven't you already passed the limit for underwater running?
Nearly halfway to the official limit, sir.
Oh, only halfway. Well, that's okay then, isn't it?
Well, not really, Major. You see, we've only got one battery at the moment instead of the usual two.
Only one? Is that enough to get us to Malta submerged all the way? Oh, come on. I've guessed it's Malta, of course.
Well, I can't say whether it is or it isn't, sir, but I can tell you that if it is Malta we're heading for, no, we can't make it under the water all the way. And if you surface to recharge the batteries from the diesels, we'll be a sitting duck, crammed full of high-octane petrol and high-explosive ammunition.
Oh, but that's crazy.
Major Lee, I've confined you to your quarters because you're using up oxygen unnecessarily by standing up, walking around and talking. There is a limited supply of breathable air in a submarine that's running submerged, and it's my responsibility and my duty to conserve it for essential purposes. Now get back to your hammock and stay there until I send for you.
Or else what, sailor?
Or else you'll continue this voyage in irons. Do you hear me? In irons. Chained to a stanchion. And don't think I won't do it. You may be going to take my ship away from me before this voyage is over, but until your orders are open, you will obey mine to the letter.
Boy, I just hope my sealed orders include dumping you over the side. I'll obey that one to the letter, all right, and with pleasure.
Take on, Skipper. Battery capacity reading. It's coming up to the red line, sir.
Oh, that's great.
The red line? What's that all about?
Well, if you're going to be in control of this vessel, Buster, you may as well know. As soon as that pointer reaches the red line, we have to surface in the world's most heavily patrolled sea lane, right under the noses of all the anti-submarine fights the enemy can put up. Well, I hope you know where to find enough power to keep us underway then, because you're going to need it.
Excuse me, Skipper. Radio message.
Right. Thank you. Well, here it is. I am formally ordered to instruct Major Lee of the United States Army to open his sealed orders, and thereafter to accept any orders that he may give as to the disposition of my vessel and my crew. Well, she's all yours, Admiral Robert E. Lee.
I opened the sealed envelope with a certain relief. Fortunately, the first paragraph was fairly straightforward, and more Commander Haig's business than my own. Captain, I have a course correction for you.
Well, don't tell me. I'm just part of the furniture around here. Tell the boatswain.
Well, it's kind of hard to figure, but just north.
Just north.
Beg pardon, sir. Battery's almost exhausted.
Number one.
Sir?
Prepare to surface.
Aye, aye, sir.
But that's ridiculous. Everything to the north is enemy-held territory, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad you know that much anyway. Yes, under your new and, I should think, short-lived command, Major, this submarine is going to be sailing to the surface towards Italy. And it's my guess they'll not only be delighted to see us, but they'll welcome us with open arms and a salvo of armor-piercing shells.
This is Torpedo Boat 27 calling base urgent. There is a vessel ahead of me now. A small one due south and heading right at me. I will investigate. Over and out. Torpedo Boat calling base. Request airstrike. The vessel is a submarine. Over.
Request denied. Investigate further. Most unlikely a submarine is heading towards Italy on the surface unless it is friendly. Repeat. Investigate further.
Ship and starboard bow, Skipper.
Where? Ah, yes, I've got it. Oh, kicking up quite a bow wave, too, for a little one. All right, Admiral. I'd say you have a torpedo boat coming to pay a call. Do your orders cover that situation, too?
They do, Captain. Train your Oerlikon, your 4-inch gun, and all other deck-mounted weapons to the stern.
The stern? Are you off your head? The torpedo boat's on our bow.
Those are the orders, Captain.
Well, that's insane. What else do they say? Run up the white flag?
Funny you should mention flags, Captain. There's a further order here, and you're not gonna believe it, I can tell. And when you do, you're not gonna like it.
Torpedo boat 27 calling base, confirming that vessel is a submarine. I'm close enough to fire. Request permission to attack. Over.
Hard to believe your report, Lieutenant. Are you sure they're close enough? Over.
Of course I'm sure. I could hit her with a rifle bullet. Wait. There is activity around the deck. Yes, they're training their deck armament. Permission to open fire. Urgent. Over.
Confirm and amplify nature of the deck activity. Over.
Hello, base. Hello, base. They've trained their guns aft. Repeat, aft. I'm off their bow. Repeat, bow. Instructions, please. Over.
Understand the submarine is training its armaments away from you. I'm reporting for higher orders, Lieutenant. Report any other activity. Over.
They're hoisting a flag. One moment. Yes, it's a white ensign. This is a British submarine. And wait. Hello, base. The white ensign is upside down. Repeat. Upside down. Over.
Upside down? Mamma mia, Tenente. Do nothing hasty. The CNC will have to figure out this one himself. Keep them under observation. But whatever you do, do not open a fire until we know what the devil is going on there.
You and the submarine have orders to take you under arrest. Do you understand me? You will obey my orders or I will blow you out of the sea. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, Admiral Lee, it seems you're not giving orders here anymore. Now the Italian Navy's taken over. You didn't last long in command, did you?
Or do your secret orders cover this situation, too?
They sure do, Captain.
Gerente! I am Major Robert E. Lee of the United States Army. Do you hear what I say?
I hear you, sir, and your mate, your brother, but I don't understand. Who is commanding that submarine? Is it British? I do not understand.
I have a message from my president to your Mussolini. A personal message.
A message for you, Gucci. Is that what you say, Major?
That's right. I have taken possession of this British submarine. I have to deliver an urgent message. What are your orders?
Momente, wait a momente. I will report what you say to my admiral and get his orders. Give a two and await my reply. If you attempt anything foolish, I will put a torpedo into you. Stand by for orders. My machine gunner has everyone on your bridge in his sight. Don't make one false move, or you are all dead men.
Oh, my dear chap, you don't imagine that even a thick lieutenant in the Italian Navy is going to swallow that load of nonsense, do you? A message from President Roosevelt for Mussolini.
It doesn't matter what he thinks, Captain. Neither he nor his admiral at the base is going to stick his neck out and decide it's nonsense, just in case it isn't. All he can do is ask us to come into harbor and talk it over. And as you can see, that's just what they have done.
Inviting a British submarine into a harbor full of warships. They must be as crazy as you are.
Not really. They've ordered your deck guns unloaded. They've sent an officer aboard to confirm that you have no torpedoes. You're harmless. And you can bet that once we've got past their entrance boom, we'll be right under the guns of every warship and shore emplacement. What have they got to lose?
Well, I don't know why you're so proud of yourself. You surrender my ship to the enemy without firing a shot. You calmly propose to walk into their trap like a fly into a spider's web.
I think you once said, Captain, that doing your duty without questioning orders is part of the grand old tradition of the British Navy. Well, how's about doing just that without all the complaining, huh? Say, look, there's the outer defenses of the harbor now. I think you'll admit they're running no risk by asking us to drop in for a little chat together.
Base are calling torpedo boat 27. Tenente, I have the commander-in-chief's orders for you. He has a check with Rome and the British submarine is to follow you into the harbor. If there is any sign of trouble, you're to fire a red signal rocket. Over.
Message received and understood. But what happens when I fire the signal rocket? Over.
Oh, Tenente. There will be the greatest bombardment since Alamein. And I'm very glad I am not sitting in the water a few meters from where it will all come down. I wish you good fortune. Over and out.
Avanti.
Ah, come in, Tenente. And are you too, gentlemen? For you, the war is over. Please be seated. I'm Base Commander Svorta. You can give me the message from your President Roosevelt for El Duce.
Well, go on, Yank. Give him the message.
Admiral Svorta, the message is, if Signor Mussolini will eat more lettuce and cut down on the spaghetti, he'll live long enough to be hanged for war crimes.
Admirale di Armat, what can be the meaning?
Silence, Tenente. Major Lee, I suppose you have some reason for this insulting and ridiculous performance.
Admiral, I wouldn't assume anything reasonable from this officer.
Thank you, Captain, for your loyal support and understanding. Admiral, I'll appreciate it if you will kindly order your boom defense controller to remove his anti-submarine nets, surface boom, and other obstructions so that the submarine S-54 can leave here tomorrow morning without any difficulty.
Major, I'm trying to control my impatience.
Good heavens. I think I'm beginning to see. Look, Yank, I think I owe you an apology.
That's okay, Dougie. I was baffled there for a while myself.
You demand that we let you go free tomorrow?
Tenente, I shall not tell you again to be silent. Gentlemen, I'm waiting for your explanation. How can you make these ridiculous demands as if you expect me to comply with them? You're caught in this orbit like a fly in a spider's web.
Funny thing you should say that, Admiral.
Sir, with all due respect, we're more like a tiger that you have by the tail.
Explain this, please.
That's quite simple, Admiral. That submarine is crammed full of high-octane aviation fuel and high explosives. You dare not fire on us. The explosion would damage every warship and every merchant ship within a mile and more. And wreck your harbor installations.
Oh, no.
That's perfectly true, Admiral. And if I were you, well, the first thing I'd do right now is order that helicopter to get right away from that sub and stay away. He could have an accident. Crash under the sub and send it sky high. And your entire command with it.
I do not believe what you say. If this is true, why then the explosion would destroy your vessel and wipe out your crew. It would destroy this room we are sitting in and you with it.
And you, sir.
Admiral, I believe you have no choice. My orders are to sail from here tomorrow, escorted by any vessel of your choice. You, sir, will be kind enough to sail in that vessel as a hostage. It'll remain within 10 meters of the submarine, and you'll give orders that we're not to be attacked. If we are, you go down with us. Or up, as the case may be.
And if I refuse?
You can't refuse, sir. You're sitting on a bomb of unimaginable force. Your fleet will remain in this harbor for 24 hours, because if even one vessel attempts to leave, my men will fire on it and sink it. It will not dare to fire back, because if it does, the explosion will destroy it and everything else in range. Well, cheer up, Admiral. It's no disgrace to bow to the inevitable. I'm afraid you've been defeated by the Major's new secret weapon, HMS Suicide.
The next day took its place in military history as the day of Operation Torch. Under the Supreme Allied Commander, General Eisenhower, American, British, French, and other Allied troops landed in North Africa. It was the biggest and most bloodless mass landing that had ever taken place. It would have been a costly failure if the Italian and German navies had interfered, but all their Mediterranean ports had received an unexpected visitor the day before. A single British submarine under the command of an American Army officer with a cargo of certain doom that was also his free ticket out of there again.
High Adventure is produced by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Saint, High Adventure, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. A shoutcast stream is available on the website, and you can donate through the site as well. We'd like to help support this and all the shows. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back tomorrow with Walk Softly, Peter Troy, and the Adventures of Ellery Queen on a brand new episode of Case Closed. And I will be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.